breaking news as we begin NFL Live. Sean Payton has made a decision to step away as head coach of the New Orleans Saints. You see him sitting down for a press conference right now. We'll take you there. Right now, we'll hear from Adam Schefter on the other side.
I was making notes last night thinking, like, how do you do this with COVID? And how do you leave? How do you step aside? And I'm not a good writer. And I'm thinking, you know what? And Doug, no offense, but man, the zoom angle on my face for the last 2 years has driven me crazy. So I don't want that to be like a lasting, indelible impression on anyone. And fortunately, I think we managed to come up with a good setup here, just with the space. And everything that we've been through, we collectively, all of us, with COVID and managing to go about our business. Last week, I had a great visit, a tough visit, with Mickey Loomis and Mrs. Benson and Dennis Lauscha, relative to just looking ahead with what I want to do and Mickey and I now we're 16 years. And so I think that was challenging just because of our friendship more than our professional relationship. And then Mrs. B was awesome. You know, I love this about her. She said, well, go away for 2 or 3 months and come back in training camp and we'll be ready to go. And I thought that sounded pretty good actually. But I'm glad that she told me to spend some time away and give this some thought, because it is a big decision and it certainly affects a lot of people. You know, it's not often you as a coach have that opportunity to possibly leave, and it was something that certainly I hadn't really thought about over the years. You know, we coach, and at some point they tell you to leave. And as difficult as being fired is, it sure seems easier to thank everyone and move on your merry way. But this, I'll try to hit everything, and I'm going to ask or answer every question until you guys are done answering. So I'm sorry if this takes a while, but yeah, we're not in any hurry. So I like watching Netflix. I like watching TV shows. I think you guys do as well. And it's Mardi Gras season, and I'm a kind of a Ted Lasso fan. And I do have a regret. 15 seasons, 16 years here, and I've got like the best female owner in the world of sports. And you know, we don't do biscuits here in New Orleans, but we do king cake. So where's Mrs. B? I also have like 100 of them for the media and everyone else that's here to kind of celebrate the Mardi Gras season. I want to start and bounce around here, but I want to start with a series of thank yous. It's important. And so thank you, Mrs. Benson, for being no better. There could be no better owner for me to have worked for, starting with your late husband, Mr. B, Tom Benson. When I was sitting around last night thinking about how I wanted this to unfold, I Google search Breeze, and it's like, I hate following Breeze. And he brought up some of the same stories. You know, Mr. B was always one of those guys that for every meeting I had with him, it was never football related. It was always about something other than football. And he had a dish of Tootsie Rolls and Hershey Kisses. I'd go in there, we'd talk about family, we'd talk about anything other than the Saints. and I miss him, and I and realize the time and the timing of me coming here back in 2006 was perfect, and obviously us having some early success worked out. But I wish he was here, and Mrs. B, you've been fantastic, carrying on everything about his legacy, and I know he would be extremely proud and is extremely proud. So he's not here right now, but he is. And so I thank the two of you for being great owners. And I mean that beyond just being owners. I thought about this. I can't think of one time the answer was no. Now, it might be like, oh, we're trying to do something and we don't have enough time to remodel. And so it might have been time-driven, but the answer was never no. And look, that's easy when Mickey has the credit card and I've got the wish list. I'd like to thank Dennis Lausch, our president and a good friend, for people talk about culture and like what's the secret. Teams right now, 8 teams, 9 teams, they're all searching for the right culture. Everyone wants to know how. And it's very difficult, and yet, if I was writing a book, I'd say it's also very simple. The alignment of ownership, your club president, your general manager, your head coach, right through your roster, that sounds easy. But like any relationship, they require work, right? I mean, it requires time and energy. It requires a similar goal. It requires us all to kind of like lay down our arms and our egos for the best of the team. And if we ask that of our players, then certainly we have to ask that of our organization. So it's sometimes, I was fortunate at a young age to really be around some special coaches. My high school coach, my college coach, and then in this league, you know, you sometimes get jobs and it's coincidence. Sometimes it's good fortune. Sometimes it's not good fortune. But those roots for me, or those bloodlines for me, as I look back on it, were extremely, extremely important. And I just met with our staff and I told our young coaches, man, you have your feet grounded in, you know, in the job you have, and these things that you want very fast will happen, but they may not happen in the timing that you want them. But the point I'm making about Dennis is it's like a good baseball team right up the middle, from the catcher to the pitcher to the infield to the outfield. We were always in concert. That didn't mean we always agreed, but we were always in concert. And for a first-time head coach 16 years ago, that was important, and more important now that I look back on it than I ever realized. And so I thank you and appreciate you. We had a lot of trips. We had fun trips, crazy trips where the very first year before we drafted Reggie Bush, we were out selling tickets and listening to 80s music and trying to figure out who knew the words. And then when we drafted Reggie Bush, we sold out. And I'm like, thank God we don't have to go on those, like, those freaking ticket bandwagon drives. We've been sold out ever since. Mickey Loomis, a dear friend. I would say, more importantly, a friend, just as importantly, my general manager, and just as importantly, the person that gave me this opportunity. You know, he took a chance on a first-time head coach, and you guys know kind of the batting average and the challenges for these positions. They're hard. Every year we're reminded of that. And I've written about this, I've spoken about it, and look, I had just interviewed in Green Bay with the late Ted Thompson. man, I thought I had a great interview. And when I landed here, it was right after Katrina in January. And many of you remember that. And I just thought, when I met Mickey, I thought, man, I like this guy. He's got a heck of a task ahead of him. And I kept looking at my flip phone at the time, waiting for that Green Bay area code to come in. And I got the message that evening that they had gone in a different direction. And I remember just throwing the phone into the pillow and thinking, holy cow. And it was the best thing that happened. And sometimes, again, you don't have any control over that. And so he trusted his gut. And beyond just hiring me, I can't think, we've had disagreements multiple times, and yet we've always been in concert. And so, like, one of my biggest, not concerns, but one of my biggest second thoughts was, man, I don't want to not be around this really, really good friend of mine. And so, that's not going to happen. I mean, I'm actually moving into another property here locally, but more than my general manager, more than the person that hired me, more than all of those things, is, I would say, one of my best friends, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I mean, I could give you 1,000 stories that would be interesting because our personalities are so different. Like, he walks slow. It bothers me. I want him to pick it up. When you make a decision like this, you spend time with your loved ones. You spend time with your family. I've got, a daughter who's out west in media trying to become what many of you are, and a son who's in college. A wife, Skyline, who we've been together for many years, 10 years, and got married last June, and I've confided in those guys quite a bit and talked about these decisions quite a bit. And I appreciate them, and they've been extremely just good listeners, because ultimately, like, we all want happiness for our friends. We want happiness and health for our friends and family. Those are the two things I think about. Maybe as I've grown older, if your children are happy and healthy, then you're blessed, I think. And so I feel like there's been a very steady listening group here, and without any angle relative to, hey, what is it that you're looking for? Because honestly, as I sit here today, and this is okay, I don't know what's next. And look, I read the reports and I understand. I've not spoken to anyone from a media outlet relative to doing television or radio. Maybe that opportunity arises. But every time I read something that says, like, he's in line for this job, I'll call my agent, Don, and I'll say, Don, did you hear something? Because I have not heard anything. And that's okay. I think I'd like to do that. I think I'd be pretty good at it. But so stepping outside, like in the cold weather today, and being a little uncomfortable professionally or from a career standpoint is okay. I don't like the word retirement. Mr. B didn't like it either. He always said, retirement's overrated. We get sold this whole image of retirement by these investment groups on TV and golf courses and retirement.
Well, as you can tell, we lost audio there on Sean Payton's press conference announcing that he's stepping away from the New Orleans Saints. We'll get you more information as he continues to speak. Let's bring in Adam Schefter here. As we remind you that Sean Payton and the Saints combination was the highest scoring coach team duo in NFL history. What else can you add, Adam, to what you already heard there from Payton?
Well, a few things here to keep in mind. He talked about the fact that he got turned down for the job in Green Bay. That's a job that went to Mike McCarthy at the time. And Mike McCarthy is in Dallas. And a lot of people are wondering now if Sean Payton is going to wind up coaching the Dallas Cowboys. No, he's not. Not this season. That's not happening. That's not on the table. That's not an option. Sean Payton is going to take some time to unwind here, process. He very well could come back to coaching next year after taking this season off. But right now, it doesn't look like it's in the cards for Sean Payton to coach this season. Could he be in television? That's certainly possible. But this is a decision that Sean Payton came to over recent weeks. He's known about this for quite some time. He took some time in Mexico the last couple of weeks to play golf, unwind, relax, make sure that he was making the right decision. Came in today, started meeting with the Saints staff last night, met with them again today, and then held a meeting a short time ago where he informed all of them about his decision, spoke to them for 35 minutes, and told them, as he just said, that he doesn't know what's next, but he's going to be open to anything. But he's not going to be coaching this year in all probability. That's hard to imagine, despite the fact that there are now 9 head coaching vacancies across the National Football League. Sean Payton is not the likely guy to fill in one of them, and the Saints now find themselves as the most recent team that looks to have a head coaching need. And Dennis Allen has been the interim replacement for Sean Payton before. He figures to be the favorite now, but there's a process that this team has to go through, will go through. And we've seen many times a team have a leader in the clubhouse going into a search only to wind up on a different candidate. And we'll see what the Saints do. But Dennis Allen certainly will be one of the favorites for this job as the Saints move forward. Sean Payton doesn't know what's next. He'll see what's in his future. The Saints will see what's in their future. But this is the end of an era in New Orleans, because Sean Payton took over this team at a time where nobody wanted to go to New Orleans, where it had just been through Hurricane Katrina, where that was really the last place that anybody around the league would want to go. And he turned it into one of the marquee NFL franchises. And I think that when he stands up at that podium, in a way, he's auditioning for a future job, because there might be some NFL owner today that sees what Sean Payton is saying and says, that's a guy that when he's ready, I want him to coach my team. I also will say this, Laura. Many people assumed that Bill Cowher, once he stepped away from the Steelers, would go back to coaching, and he never did. So we never know what's going to happen once a coach takes a break from the game, steps away, and does something different with his life. The lifestyle that coaches live is very chaotic, very stressful. And if you look at the pictures of any head coach from the day they take office to the day they leave, the only job that ages somebody faster may be the president of the United States. So we'll see what happens with Sean Payton here going forward. But he's going to take some time, and the Saints will take some time, and it's the end of an era in New Orleans.
All right, more from Adam Schefter is coming throughout the rest of this hour on NFL Live, and we will give you our reactions, our thoughts on Sean Payton's legacy there with New Orleans as he continues his press conference announcing he's stepping away from the New Orleans Saints. Diana Russini joining us on the other side as well with her perspective, and we will be right back. NFL Live is brought to you by The Ice Age, Adventures of Buck Wild. The pack is back in an all-new movie event streaming this Friday only on Disney+.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
NFL Live is brought to you by The Ice Age, Adventures of Buck Wild. The pack is back in an all-new movie event streaming this Friday only on Disney+. Breaking news here on NFL Live as Sean Payton has announced he's stepping away as New Orleans Saints head coach and is not planning on coaching in the immediate future. We're hearing from him right now as we brought you some of his press conference there in New Orleans. He's speaking with the media and said, hey, listen, we got all the time in the world. There is no rush here. So we'll continue to tell you what he's talking about. Mina Kimes, Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky furiously scribbling notes, and Ryan Clark. I'll start with you, Marcus, because you've been around Payton.
Yeah.
What's his legacy?
A winner, number one.
Yes.
Led, I think the most important thing, what Shefty said, during that time, I don't think people understand the gravity, and Ryan can speak to this more than I can, of what Katrina could have done to everything around it. The Saints were the reason New Orleans revived. Mm-hmm. Like, when you look for something or you looking for something to hang on to, I was in Dallas at the time, and they were putting people on buses, sending them everywhere. And Sean Payton and Drew Brees were the representatives of New Orleans to the world. Yep. Yeah. And he stood in that moment and delivered a championship. I'll never forget that first game back against the Falcons. Like, that was one of the craziest atmospheres I've ever seen in the NFL. So I attribute leadership. Me and Sean are really good friends. I know him really well. Did not talk to him about retirement. That's one of the things we always said to each other. Look, man, if I'm making a decision, don't call me, right? I don't want no information. But the bottom line is, a leader, a winner, and I know he hates this term, but I'm going to use it, a player's coach, because you want to play for him once you realize that he is real and as authentic as they come.
He's a hope giver, right? When you look at what New Orleans was at that time, not only as an organization, but as a city, it was hopeless, right? We had people sleeping outside of the Superdomes, people sleeping outside of the convention center, and that was the city in holistic view. Right? It was a city that had a bleak perspective of what the future could be. And that was always what the New Orleans Saints were. I'm not a New Orleans Saints fan for that reason. They were never any good. But there were so many people there that bleed black and gold, my family included. And that's why you can't say a bad word about Drew Brees. You can't say a bad word about Sean Payton, because in the bleakest moment of what New Orleans were, was, they were hope.
Yep.
And I think Sean Payton's legacy goes far beyond what he's meant to football in New Orleans, and it's great that they were able to revitalize the city.
You know, Dan, we've heard Payton say there, I haven't been contacted by media companies. I am not going to go and coach in the immediate future. Even Adam Schefter saying, for those out there who say he's going to go to the Cowboys right now, it's not happening. Sorry, Marcus. What do you think's next for Sean Payton?
Kind of whatever he wants. I mean, he's a highly successful NFL coach who's well thought out and well spoken, and his resume speaks for itself. So if he wants to go coach, great. And if he wants to go into television, he's going to be really good at that. I hope that Sean Payton coaches in the NFL again. I think he's a great ambassador for the NFL. He ain't doing it in Dallas. Not next year. I think he's a great ambassador for the NFL. I think he's a great ambassador for New Orleans. I also think, like, isn't he Drew Brees's Bill Walsh?
You
know what Bill Walsh was to Joe Montana? This guy that was talented, but, like, physically not what you, I guess, quote-unquote, want in your quarterback, and but he does so many different things incredibly well. Well, how do I get him to kind of reach his Hall of Fame potential per his talent? And that's kind of what they built in New Orleans. I mean, he took Drew Brees and made him a Hall of Famer. Now, Drew obviously played his part in that, but and you know, for me as a person that was relatively young when Sean was still starting as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, he was one of the coaches that had that quarterback and coach relationship that you kind of envied and modeled. It was the New England kind of mindset with Tom Brady and Charlie Weiss or Josh McDaniels, and that was a group or a duo that kind of matched that both relationship and success.
Mina, what does this mean for the Saints and Jameis Winston as well?
You guys got to say all the nice stuff. Now I get to be the bearer of bad news. About
that's why we love you.
Future of the New Orleans
Saints. Thank you so much.
Shall
we set that up?
and what about the money? The money ain't great. Everybody at home is aware of New Orleans' cap situation. It's not been great for a while. They're about $70 million over the cap next year, which is worse in the NFL. There are things that they can do to come under it. Contracts that can be restructured. Michael Thomas comes to mind. Marshawn Lattimore. But there are also free agents like Tron Armstead and Marcus Williams and Quan Alexander. They probably won't be able to keep. And then, of course, there's the Jameis question. Because even if you are able to do some restructuring and keep any of those defensive stars in particular, Armstead, whether or not you think Jameis, whatever you think of him as a quarterback, he is the most desirable free agent option. And the Saints won't just be competing with the Saints for his services. Right. So it's going to be hard for them to retain him, given how little money they have. And, of course, that makes a whole new question mark.
You know, New Orleans won the NFC South 7 times during Peyton's tenure. Only the Patriots and Packers won more division titles since 2006. The success on the field and off is well documented. Let's bring in Diana Russini, who's had a lot of conversations with Peyton during this season and leading up to this. Diana, what can you tell us about how he was in the lead up to finally making this decision?
Well, you saw him really emotional there, Laura, and it makes a lot of sense because this wasn't an easy decision. I've had numerous conversations over the last few days, actually, with Coach about what he was doing, laying out all the different options. And, you know, what's funny about Sean is, you know, he changes his mind a lot. You know, he's had all these ideas over the years about what he wants to do. I think he's considered every career in the book. He tends to hit a wall when a lot of stuff starts to pile up on him. And I think this past season, he really hit the biggest wall of all. Obviously, trying to replace Drew Brees after he retired. We saw 4 different quarterbacks at that starting position. They dealt with all different injuries. He had COVID twice. They had to relocate to Texas for a whole entire month because of a hurricane situation there. So this season was simply exhausting, which is the way he described it. And this isn't complaining at all. This wasn't a head coach going, look at all my problems. Every coach has problems. Every organization is imperfect. They have their flaws. But for Peyton, the bigger picture for him, for his life, this is something that he wasn't just thinking about this season, last season. This goes back 3-4 years where he was really trying to navigate, even trying to manage what is next for him. Because there were times where he thought there was nothing else he could give to the city of New Orleans, that the coaching that he had put out was the best he could do. And I do think that there is an organization out there that comes, or at least has ownership, that he would be looking for. And this is nothing against what ownership in New Orleans has done, because you saw what he said, and you could see that personal relationship that he has with Gail Benson. They are as close as any head coach and owner. Their interactions that I have observed myself in the tunnel, on the field, even from talking to both of them over the years, they truly have a healthy, healthy relationship and support each other's decision in both their personal life and careers. But I think for Sean Payton, I think the dream for him is to work for an organization where he has full control, like he just did in New Orleans for the last 15 years, but for an owner like an Al Davis that we once saw, a Jerry Jones. This does not mean he's had conversations with these teams, but I think for him, if he's going to go back to football, it needs to be for an owner like that. We know how frustrated he got over the last few seasons, specifically in the playoffs with the no calls. I truly believe he thinks if he's part of a place, a team, a club that has a little bit more juice, things could go their way. And I think this plays into some of what the future for Sean Payton will be. But I do know he is open to anything, as he pretty much put it out there in terms of the media and who knows what other career. But for now, football coaching is not done for Sean Payton.
All right, that's great to hear. I think a lot of us want to see him coach again whenever the time comes. He can make that decision. Sean Payton is still speaking right now. Thanks to Diana for all of that context. You can see him there continuing that press conference, announcing that he's stepping away from the New Orleans Saints. Coming up next, we'll stay on this story, but we will get into the incredible games coming up this weekend and also still reflecting on last weekend's great games, too. We'll be right back on NFL Live. We're back on NFL Live and back to the incredible weekend of football and divisional round. Los Angeles Rams had a walk-off win over Tom Brady and the Bucs in Tampa Bay. Thanks to this incredible play. They call it love of the game, and to be honest, we see why. It kind of made me love the game even more, and I actually picked the Bucs. All right, Cooper Kupp, who caught that one there, caught both of his targets, thrown 30-plus yards downfield Sunday, a 70-yard touchdown that traveled 38 air yards and a 44-yard catch that was 37 air yards. Kupp has caught 9 of 11 passes, thrown 30-plus yards downfield this season, including the playoffs. That's the most catches and the highest catch rate in the NFL, of course, but either way, Marcus, you've had concerns all season about Stafford and interceptions. You haven't even gone into that game. How do you think he's played, though, in his 2 playoff starts with the Rams?
He's been phenomenal.
Boop, boop.
And it's because of his coach. Like, they've done a tremendous job of opening up this offense and not putting it all on Matthew Stafford. And it's just a couple of examples from the Tampa game that just gives him easy access. Like, and y'all know I scream run the football, but these type of concepts, giving the defense these type of looks, helps Matthew Stafford down the road. Look, screen to Sony Michelle. I know this play didn't go anywhere, but that's another key in the defense's mind. And then when you do those things, you get one-on-ones. Mm. And that is where Matthew Stafford will absolutely destroy you. When he finds those matchups that his guys are going to win, more than likely, he is going to find them every single time. But I think Sean McVay has done a tremendous job of taking some of that pressure off of him and allowing him to kind of get a feel for the game as opposed to, hey, go out here and throw for 400, you know? So it's been great.
What I love is the early effort to get Odell Beckham Jr. involved, right? Early on in the game, when he has those one-on-one matchups, they try to get him a football. And then if you see it goes a couple of series without him having a catch, they'll just throw him a hitch into off coverage. Yeah. To make sure he continues to stay involved, and also understanding that if he does get the one-on-one matchup, this is a guy that we want to use. And so I feel like Sean McVay, especially in the two playoff games, has really been conscious that number three still is the most talented wide receiver on that team with the most juice, and that early on in one-on-ones, you get him involved, opens up Cooper Kupp later, and Cooper Kupp absolutely destroys people.
Cooper Kupp is phenomenal, right? But the fact that Odell has come and proven to be a viable, trusted, and reliable number two, I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying, like that too, it is a huge,
and that's huge
reason why.
That's huge this week because, remember, his first game was against the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A two that could also be a one in a lot of offenses. What a luxury. And, you know, Mina, as good as the Rams' offense has been, especially in recent weeks, there is cause for concern for you as you head into conference championship.
Golly, when it's grim, be the grim reaper. Oh, my goodness.
I tried to dress like one today.
I love it.
Well, look, they almost blew it. I mean, I know we're all riding this Rams high, but they came very close 100%. To us having some very difficult conversations. And, yeah, the fumbles played a large role in that, but something else that was immensely frustrating to me watching this offense in the second half was the conservatism. Mm-hmm. And Marcus, I hear you on the balance early on.
Yeah.
Balance is what makes this offense go. However, after Cooper Kupp fumbled in this game and then the Bucs scored and they were up 27 to, I believe, 13, Sean McVay called a run on 6 first downs and 1 pass.
Yep.
That's a 6-to-1 run-to-pass ratio. Mm. I feel like...
Do you think it was the fumble that just scared him out of it, though?
Well, they went to Michelle away from Akers, so it wasn't that. But I really think he was concerned about just, you know, keeping possession. But
you're going against
Tampa. And the other thing is, for me, I was frustrated that they let their foot off the gas pedal.
Right.
But I also flashed back to week 18.
When
they were up.
That's the only reason
McVay
the 49ers are in.
Run, gave them
what
the football,
I text you today?
And they scored.
Stay aggressive till February.
And I think they're going to have to do that in the next round, is what I'm saying.
Right, really important. All right, guys, we got more coming on these games.
February, bro.
He's aggressive all the time. We're also going to get back to our top story of the day, Sean Payton announcing that he's stepping away. Here's what he said. I don't know what's next, and it kind of feels good. He said he Googled last night how to not cry during a press conference. I don't know. What did Google tell you there? I don't think he cried that much yet. Either way, we'll tell you what Peyton continues to say, and we're going to talk about Tom Brady. Someone here thinks he's stepping away, too. We'll be right back. Glad you're with us on NFL Live. It feels odd to say, but no Tom Brady in the postseason after the Rams and Matt Stafford won at the last second in Tampa. So now the questions about Brady's future. The 44-year-old still mulling his decision about returning or retiring. But here's what he said on his podcast about his thought process.
Well, I think the point is there's no really rush for me to figure out what's next. You know, I'll know when I know. My wife is my biggest supporter. It pains her to see me get hit out there. And, you know, she deserves what she needs from me as a husband. My kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. And, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and, you know, figure out in the future what's next.
I don't know. Kind of sounds like somebody who might be done. Marcus, you really think Brady could be retiring?
I feel like he is. I feel like he is. But Tom Brady makes liars out of us all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know that.
True.
But ultimately, I think he's in that place that a lot of guys get to. Now, his situation is different because he's been playing the NFL for 22 years. But I tell this story all the time. I started playing football at 6 years old, and I retired when I was 32. I knew every year what I was going to be doing from that time all the way until I left the NFL. So, you know, it for a lot of guys, and you will hear them talk about, it's not as simple as saying I'm retiring. You trying to figure out what am I going to do to feel this time that's going to be valuable, as opposed to just saying I'm doing something. Yeah. So I just feel like he's figuring out what that is, but I think he's gone.
Bottom line, football was the only job I ever wanted. And it seems like it was the same thing for Tom Brady. And it comes for us all. I remember sitting on the sofa in November, and my wife walked by and I said, I'm done. Mm. And I knew that because every Saturday when the barber came over and I had to get a haircut, I had to send Jordan down first because it was going to take me too long to get down there.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, Monday through Saturday retires people.
Right.
It's never really not Sunday, today. Right?
Yeah,
it's about the offseason. Am I willing to do what it takes to be what I've always done? And I also remember that the next year, Jordan was going to be in the ninth grade. And I said, I would not miss one of my son's football games ever. And I said, and I wanted my parents to be able to see him come. And you heard Tom Brady say, it's about what we need. It's about what we have to do. And your wife is your biggest supporter. And your kids love to see you do what you want to do. But you just daddy, right? You just Tom. You just Ryan. And eventually, that pull begins to be more than the pull of mm-hmm. winning championships. Mm. And it was why it's going to be hard for Tom Brady is, at that point, I couldn't be the best I ever was. Tom Brady is still playing at such a high level. It's going to be hard to say don't do it.
That's why this is so hard to predict because, yes, we just saw him lost, but we also just saw him make a throw to Mike Evans that
perfect.
Certainly no one else in their 40s can make, but very few quarterbacks in the NFL can perform at the level that Tom Brady did this season. By the way, we also just saw him endure a level of pressure that he is not accustomed to in Tampa Bay because of the injuries on that offensive line. So as we look to next year and ask, okay, why would he come back? I think something that's important to remember is this was the nightmare scenario for Tom Brady.
This is the worst case.
Behind that offensive line.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the situation. Tristan Wirfs will come back. Also, I'll throw one thing out. With Sean Payton gone, you're going to win the division. I mean, so, you know, he's got another.
And go there.
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, whoa.
Listen, I think that you say Monday through Saturday retires you. I think change does as well. And I think there's going to be a lot of change, at least potentially, in Tampa Bay. We know that Byron Leftwich is getting interviewed for multiple head coaching situations. We know Todd Bowles is as well. I also think that offensive roster that he played with in the game this past Sunday is more like what he could potentially play with next year than it is from last season. Like, their free agents, Mina, are Chris Godwin, JPP, Ryan Jensen, Sue, Gronk, O.J. Howard, Alex Kappa. Those are huge free agents.
Yeah.
I know money moved around, all that stuff, I know. But there's also the reality of, man, do I want to play around a team that doesn't look like what it did 2 years ago?
It's incredible, though. Like, so much of that, what the roster looks like depends on whether Brady comes back, whether they go into they won't rebuild, but how much they try to run it back.
Arians tried to say not rebuild, reload. You got to think if Brady's done, Gronk's
you
done.
Got, I mean,
so oh, that's, that is not a, you, that you ain't a rebuild. That's a new construction.
You got all of those starters to come back because of Tom Brady.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So he is the catalyst for all that. We will get back to our top story of the day with the Sean Payton stepping away. Here's another quote from him. He said, we're not writing an obituary today. It's a step. It's another direction. He's still speaking now at the podium. We'll hear from him on the other side. And we'll be right back here on NFL Live. Keep it locked right here.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Breaking news today on NFL Live, Sean Payton announcing he is stepping away from the New Orleans Saints. The future is a little bit uncertain. He's been at the podium now for over an hour, and he's still going. We'll let you listen in on some of the things that he said earlier on as this press conference began.
Honestly, as I sit here today, and this is okay, I don't know what's next. And look, I read the reports and I understand. I've not spoken to anyone from a media outlet relative to doing television or radio. Maybe that opportunity arises, but every time I read something that says, like, he's in line for this job, I'll call my agent, Don, and I'll say, Don, did you hear something? Because I have not heard anything. And that's okay. I think I'd like to do that. I think I'd be pretty good at it. I still have a vision for doing things in football. And I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future, but that's not where my heart is right now. It's not at all.
Again, Sean Payton still speaking. Let's get a quick reads brought to you by Discover as we bring Diana Russini back in here. And Diana, you said that Sean Payton not expecting to coach in 2022, but what about after that? What do you think the plans are?
Yeah, just from having conversations with him, not just this season, but really just over the years, he absolutely loves being a coach. In fact, he considers himself to be more of a teacher whenever he discusses his role. It's more about teaching the game of football rather than coaching. But yeah, Laura, I think Sean Payton is going to want to get back into it. And he's just one of these football guys that just can't get away from it in general. So I think it's going to be good for him to recharge over the next year. We don't know what he's going to do. He admitted to the media today just now that he doesn't know what to do. He's told me in conversations we've had that he doesn't know what he wants to do. He's changed his mind many, many of times. And he does have interest in going into the media and has definitely picked my brain about what it's like to do this job. And I told him he'd be crazy to do it. No, not really. But I do think he's going to have a lot of opportunity and options. But football and being a coach and being a teacher, as he would say it, is certainly going to be in his future. And I feel pretty comfortable saying Sean Payton will be a head coach once again, just not in 2022.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, whenever it is, if he decides to return, he can sort of have his pick of what he might want to do. Thanks to Diana Russini for all the information today. And guys, as you think about this and looking ahead to a good fit for Sean Payton, let's start there, Marcus. Obviously,
is uncertain. Don't you,
he hasn't had his chance really to do this. So go ahead, Swagoo.
Make your pitch, man. Now's your chance. Straight to camera.
Sean, please, man. Please. I'm not going to text you. I'm
they got a coach.
We're going to talk on the phone. Please.
No matter.
If it becomes a possibility, please, dude. Just go in and do it. Just do it. I don't, Jerry,
do
20
what?
Million, 25 million, I don't
He's
care.
He's talking about the Cowboys, y'all.
Hire him, let him do his thing along with the guys that you have in position, and please.
Mina, quickly remind people just the situation please. That the Saints are in as it relates to the attractiveness of this job. Please.
Oh, for other coaches, yeah. It's challenging because they have no cap space, a couple free agents heading out the door, but forgetting, more importantly, no certainty at quarterback. Jameis Winston is a free agent, likely will be attractive to other teams. Excellent defense, even if Marcus Williams leaves. Yeah. But you saw what Sean Payton did with the quarterback position. Yeah. And that was probably the most anyone could do with what he had to work with.
Sean Payton hinted that he would coach again, and then Diana kind of reiterated that. We all have a price.
Yeah.
Make
$15 million?
Don't let him hang up the phone.
Well, I think we all have a price, but we all need a break. Yeah. And I think sometimes you need to step away to truly know what you want and where you want it to be. And I think Sean Payton will do that.
Frisco.
All right, guys. Frisco, apparently he's going to the Cowboys.
Then we talk
about tuning in to NFL
By that
Live.
Time, hey, Mark guys. McCarthy could be fired.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Mark or Mike, either one. We'll see you tomorrow.